You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Amen. We're going to be doing a little series about holiness. Woo! Everyone breathes deep when you say that in the church. Holiness. And one reason we're going to talk about holiness is because I believe that it's important. And I believe that there's byproducts from us living a holy life. And not only do I believe there's wonderful byproducts by living a holy life, but I believe it's something that as believers we are supposed to do. Amen. Over here, I've got this quote. If you want to walk in the God kind of faith, the faith that moves mountains, then you must live as God lives. Well, how does God live? Leviticus 11:44 says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Now, y'all stick with me this morning, all right? Holiness is not a bad word. Y'all be excited about the message that the Holy Spirit's bringing. Amen. And as you're excited about this message, I believe it's going to help. And we're going to look at some things and we're going to alter and change the way that we think about holiness. And as we change the way we think about holiness, it's going to empower us to live holy lives. And so God said, be holy as I am holy. Over in 1 Peter 1:16, he says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And then over in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God as dear or beloved children. Amen. We are supposed to be imitators of God. Well, there's a lot of attributes and characteristics to God, but one of them is he said, I am holy. Yes. Now, what's so cool about God, and I love this, he never demands us to live at a certain level of life that he is unwilling to live at. The reason why he can ask you and ask me to be holy is because he is holy. Just like he can ask us to give our lives a living sacrifice. How can God ask that or require that of us? It's simple because God gave himself a living sacrifice for us. Amen. He doesn't demand things from us without first doing it himself. Amen. So God's like, I want you to live holy. Now, when I say that word, we all have this stereotype. When I say holiness, y'all see ladies without makeup and long hair and them jean dresses. Nothing wrong with jean dresses. If that's your flavor, wear it. Wear it all day long, unless you're a guy. I mean, just girls wear the jean dresses. You know what I mean? But we have this stereotype of holiness. And then also, when I say those are two things you think of. Number one, you think of that. Number two, you usually think of nasty sin. Think of someone caught in adultery. You think of maybe someone that's stealing from their company or their place of work. You think of maybe somebody that's, murdered someone else. When we think of holiness, our thoughts either go to a particular lifestyle or our thoughts go to a particular sin. But I don't want to look through it. I don't want to look at it through that prism. I want us to alter how we see it and just have this little paradigm shift in our mind. The definition of holiness is the state of being holy. Now listen to this last part. A life of holiness and total devotion to God. So when I say holiness, I don't want you to think about sin. I want you to think about devotion to God. Amen. And as we live devoted lives to God, see, there's a lot of people that fight against sin. We don't have to fight against sin. The Bible says we've been made free from sin, and now we can use the freedom that's been given to us by Jesus Christ not to sin anymore, but to live as beloved children of the Most High God. And someone said, amen. Amen. So don't worry about sin. Let's focus on our devotion towards God. Amen. As we focus on our devotion towards God, guess what? Everything else is going to take care of itself. Hallelujah. And so we are devoted children of the Most High God. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, and he died for all. Who is he? That's Jesus Christ. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was for them and was raised again. This is a great biblical example of devotion. God was so devoted. Jesus was so devoted to God that he gave his life. What is that? That's holiness. Now, a lot of us, when we think about Jesus going to the cross, we don't think holiness. But it was holiness. Why was it holiness? Because it was complete devotion to God. Now, living in complete devotion, it's not always easy. Hear me, church. Faith doesn't make things easy. Faith makes things possible. Write it down, tweet it, do whatever you got to do. Put it on Facebook, glory to God. Faith, and I don't know who lied to you and said it's going to be easy because you love Jesus. No, it's not going to be easy because you love Jesus. It's going to be possible. Actually, quite the opposite. The Bible says that the flesh will suffer. You know, you look at the cross, and Jesus said, if any man wants to be my follower, let him do what? Deny himself, pick up his cross. What is the cross? To me, the cross is a picture of pain and suffering. The cross is not a picture of easy. Now listen, I'm not talking about suffering from the things that Jesus delivered you from. You're supposed to be blessed. Thank you, Ted. Hallelujah. You and son, just go with it, brother. Do it now. Come on. Amen. He's going to ramp me up. I love it. Yeah. Amen. Let's do it now. You've been delivered from sickness and disease. Come on now, you don't suffer with that anymore. You've been delivered from poverty and lack, amen. You don't suffer with what Jesus delivered you from, but your flesh will suffer for God. Amen. See, I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me. Yes. And I'm devoted to Jesus, and my devotion to him is what? It's holiness. Everyone say holiness. Holiness. Now, holiness isn't always easy, amen. There's some things that we got to do that are going to be challenging. Y'all just looking at me, and I'm just going to tell you, because the flesh wants what the flesh wants, and you got to let your flesh know who's in charge. Amen. Amen. A great example of this is Jesus over in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13 or whatever. It says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness, where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time and was very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people need more than bread for their life. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him the kingdoms of the world. Listen to this as we're reading it. Focus on the scriptures. In a moment of time, the devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all. Someone say all. I will give it all to you if you'll bow down and worship me. And then Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil took him into Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he orders angels to protect you and guard you. And they will hold you with their hands and keep you from striking your foot against the stone. And Jesus replied, the scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God. And when the devil finished tempting him, then he left him until the next opportunity came. Now, I wish we could erase that last sentence right there, that the devil left him and he just stopped. But it doesn't say that. It says the devil left him until the next opportunity came. Listen to me. You are never free from this. The Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, my spirit and my natural man are constantly struggling and fighting against each other. And he said, we're never free from this struggle. But listen to me. If you'll stay devoted to God, every opportunity the devil comes to challenge you, you'll come through. Amen. Because God, as Pastor preached Sunday night, is the way maker. And he'll always make a way for you and make a way for me. Amen. Now we look at these moments and we think, well, that's just Jesus. This is easy. No, no, no. This was a real struggle for him. Why? Well, because even though he's 100% God, he was also 100% man. You know, you look at Jesus, if you want to see just a little bit of his humanity, right before he's about to go to the cross, the Bible says he was in the garden and he was so vexed about the cross that he was bleeding blood. And listen to me, the Bible says he didn't pray once, not twice, but three times he had to go and pray to the Heavenly Father. Why three times? I believe he had to get his flesh under control. Because here comes this challenge that's going to test his devotion to God. Now listen, the devil loves to test your devotion. Or you could say it this way. The devil loves to test your holiness, your commitment to God. So let's break this down just a little bit. The first temptation challenged Jesus in who he was. He said, if you're the Son of God, listen to me, you need to know who you are. If you know you're a son or a daughter of the Most High, it doesn't matter what challenge comes your way. You'll be like Jesus and you'll speak the word of God. And guess what? Just like Mark 11:23 says, that mountain will be, hallelujah, come on, it will be, not maybe, I said, it will be cast into the sea. Why? Because you know who you are. Now listen, it says he was led out into the wilderness for 40 days and ate nothing. God bless him. I ain't going 40 days with no food. I go 40 minutes, hallelujah. You know, I start getting angry, hangry, however you say it. I mean, you know, I go 40 days, you're going to start looking like a cheeseburger. I stand up here trying to preach, all I see is cheeseburgers, hallelujah, onion rings and cheese sticks and french fries. Give me some, you know what I mean? I mean, I can't go 40 days. It's not going to happen. Looking at Ted all weird, and Ted's like, why is he looking at? Because I see a double quarter pounder. So we know that Jesus was hungry because the Bible tells us hungry. And then we also know what? He is the Christ, the Messiah. Surely he could turn rocks into bread. See, but when you know who you are, here we go now, you don't have to perform for anybody. Praise the Lord. Jesus was so comfortable in his skin, he looked at the devil. He said, I ain't got to prove nothing to you. I don't live off bread alone. I live off of the word of God. Amen. Why? Because he knew who he was. The devil will always come to challenge who you are. And every challenge isn't sin. Amen. And so we have to know who we are. The second temptation, I love this. He challenged what Jesus desired. What are we talking about? We're talking about holiness. We're laying a foundation because we're going to jump into some real good things. Hallelujah. Amen. He challenged what Jesus desired. He says, if you bow to me, I'll give you the nations, for they are mine to give. What did Jesus come? The Bible says he came to save the world. So here we have Jesus sent from heaven, left his position, his deity, laid it down in heaven, and came to the earth to save the nations of the world. And here's the devil saying, you know what? If you'll just bow to me, I'll give it to you. But listen to me now, every compromise comes with a cost. Whatever you bow your knee to get just became your king. Hallelujah. So we can't bow our knee to anything. And so Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be my king, devil. I refuse to bow my knee. He said, you can offer me that all you want, but listen, anything you get for compromise isn't going to last. So Jesus said, no, when I do it, it's going to be done. That's why he's able to get up in heaven and say, it is done. Finished, because he didn't compromise. He held true to who he was, and he didn't let, listen to me, God puts desires on the inside of us, and it's good to have those desires, but there's always a right way and a wrong way to get what you desire. You know, I remember when I first went to Bible school, you know, we all desire companionship. It's good to have bae. You know, and I got to Bible school, and I remember I was seeking the Lord, and just the first week I was there, and the Lord told me, he said, I don't want you to date anybody. As soon as the Lord said that, the girls got real thirsty. I ain't kidding either. They started lining up. I mean, they're beating down my door. I'm not great to look at. It was just because the devil came to challenge what God told me. You know what I mean? And they're beating down my door. I'm like, y'all couldn't show up 3 minutes ago, you know, before the Lord said. Where were y'all? Come on now. And so you got to do whatever you got to do to curb your desire. The right thing is wrong at the wrong time. Yeah. Say it again, I will. The right thing is wrong at the wrong time. So I started doing whatever I do. It changed my focus. They got a janky knee. I'm looking at the knee. I'm locked in. They got something. The hair's out of place. That's my focus because I ain't going to fall for you, you nasty. You know, whatever I got to do. Whatever you got to do. To curb that desire, to silence the voice, listen to me now, that's testing my devotion. Yeah, yeah. I'm locked in on your knee. We ain't compromising, girl. Whatever you gotta do, if the devil came to test Jesus, he's gonna come test you. And I'm telling you, he's after your holiness. The Bible says a life of holiness will make a road in the desert. Woo! Where evil men cannot travel. That's what the Word of God says. I want to travel down that road. Amen? I want to travel down that life of holiness so that way everyone else may be in the desert, but I got a road that's going through with provision. God meeting every single one of my needs according to His riches and glory. Why? Because I'm devoted to Him. The devil always comes to challenge that devotion. He comes to challenge that devotion. You can't be relentless, or you got to be relentless in your devotion to Jesus Christ. The third temptation, this one. He challenged the character of God. He said, just throw yourself off this cliff, and if God really has your back, He'll protect you. He's given angels charge over you. Why? That you wouldn't even, he'd keep you up, they'd take you in your hands, you wouldn't even dash your foot against the stone. Listen to me. The devil's always trying to convince you that God's character is not real. You get a bill in the mail, oh, I guess I'm not going to see the faithfulness of God on this one. You cannot question the character of God because of what you see. You cannot question the character of God because of, you can't let this world question the character of God for you. Amen. Don't let them be your voice. Don't let them be what you believe. Not moved by circumstances or situations. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My God's faithful. Come on, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My God is faithful. Amen. And I know the character of God. And the Bible says that He's faithful to 1,000 generations. I'm one of them generations. The Bible says He could swear by none greater, so He swore by Himself. Guess what? I would see the promise of God and faithfulness in the land of the living. Hallelujah. That's what He's promised. That's His character. Then guess what Robert's going to see? The character of God. What is that? That's holiness. Jesus was unwavering. He was like, it don't matter. Get behind me. Don't ever question the character of God. Amen. One reason why Jesus was able to get through these is because He knew His purpose. Amen. Knowing your purpose will keep you free from compromise. John 3:17, just a few scriptures to reveal to us that Jesus knew His purpose. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Luke 4:18 through 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim captivity to be released, that the blind would see, and that the downtrodden would be free from their oppressor, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Everyone say, the Lord's favor has come. Hallelujah. Jesus knew God's purpose for His life. When you live for the purpose, you'll live holy. Amen. In total devotion to God. Because, listen, the purpose refuses to compromise. Now, just like I said, everything that challenges your holiness isn't sin. I remember when I first moved here, hallelujah, and became the youth pastor. I moved in July, it was 17 years ago, 16 years ago, to be the youth pastor. And for a short time, Pastor Mark was doing the youth ministry, and they tell the story about how he whittled it down from like 50 to 30. And then after he did it for a season, Pastor Rhonda took over the youth ministry. And I love the way she says this. It's so funny. I'm not saying nothing she don't say, so it's all right. She said when she started in youth ministry here at Cornerstone, she said, I hated them and they hated me. That's the person you want in youth ministry, you know? The one that's just annoyed by every single thing that the teenagers are doing. Hallelujah. And so she said that she whittled it down from like 30 to 15. And then I show up, and we got a youth ministry of 15 to 20 students. Well, about a month of being here, after a month of being here, I got a letter from a very reputable youth ministry. And this youth ministry, I won't say their name, but this youth ministry had 2,500 students every Wednesday. 2,500. And this letter that was sent to me said, Robert Conover, we would love for you to join our youth pastor staff. And so all of a sudden, my devotion to God's plan was challenged. Listen to me, it's not always sin. See, we think of holiness and we go right to sin. There's other things that challenge your devotion to God. Maybe a job. Come on now. Maybe moving when you're not supposed to move. Maybe going somewhere where you're not supposed to go. Oh, I feel like I got to go to Walmart to get some milk. And God says, no, don't go. We got to listen. Amen. Live in total devotion to Him. And so I had to decide and get in there and war and say, okay, I got 15 students every Wednesday or 2,500 students. Don't you know the flesh was wanting to go? But I know my purpose. My purpose is wrapped up with Cornerstone Word of Life Church and my pastors, Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda. I can't abandon them. I'm not going to abandon God's plan and God's purpose because something's shiny, because I'm like a dog chasing a rabbit. No, it doesn't work like that. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to brag on me, even though I kind of am. Hallelujah, because I stayed. Praise God. But I'm telling you, if I could do it, you can do it. Amen. Don't be chasing things around. Chase God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yes, yes. go back to, you know, chasing them little chicas around. I mean, I refused. I refused 2 years of college. Focusing on that knee. Then I moved to Madison, Alabama, and God brought my wife from Indiana. Amen. I'm going to get some brownie points today. This shirt I'm wearing, I bought in the Philippines 15 years ago. I was in the Philippines when the Lord told me to marry Rachel. I bought this shirt. I don't wear it very much because I want to save it forever. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey. That's better than flowers right there. I'll tell you something. Love you. But I remember I've worn this shirt like maybe 3-4 times and it's lasted all. Then Filipinos, I mean, praise God, they made some good shirts. Hallelujah. But what am I telling you? The devil, listen to me now, let this sit in. The devil comes to challenge your devotion. He comes to challenge your holiness. Because he doesn't want you happy. It says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So stay devoted. Everyone say, I'm devoted. So how do we strengthen this purpose that God has given us? Well, number one, we meditate the word day and night. You go back to the temptation of Jesus, he always answered with the word. Every single one of us know, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate the word of God day and night, then your way will be successful. We know we're supposed to read our Bibles, but it's not always about you know what you know. It's about what you're doing. Knowing you're supposed to read your Bible doesn't help you. Reading your Bible is what helps you. And so we got to get in there and we got to do it. We got to meditate this word day and night. And as we meditate this word day and night, what are we doing? We're strengthening the purpose of God so we can live devoted and holy lives. The next thing we got to do is we got to surround ourselves with the right people. You know these scriptures, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so friend sharpens a friend. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Stay away from people that don't agree with God. Stay close to people who strengthen you in your faith. That's why we got these connect groups. Get involved with them. Let people help you in your devotion to Jesus Christ. Everything in this world is trying to pull you away from him. Let the church and your church family push you towards him. Yeah. Get connected with the right people. I love this next one. How do we strengthen our purpose? Number three, we have to communicate our weakness to God. I don't know why, when we started doing this. I don't know why the church started trying to hide their sin and their weaknesses from God. We ought to communicate our sin. We ought to communicate our weakness to God. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, now that's a man I can boast on, and I'll never boast upon myself unless it's my weakness. Why did the Apostle Paul, why was he okay boasting about his weakness? Well, over here in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now listen, in 2 weeks we're going to get to the grace of God, and I think I said it at the beginning, but grace is not so you can live in the fullness of the world with God's permission. Amen. Grace is so you can live in the fullness of God without the world's permission. Amen. Amen? And so this grace, we have to understand there's a purpose to it. And we'll get into that in a couple weeks, but the Apostle Paul said, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Anybody in the room other than me tired of your weakness? I'm tired of my weakness. Well, how do I get rid of it? I take my weakness and I communicate it to God. Listen to me now. You want lust to beat you, then never talk to God about it. You want to steal from your company? Take things when no one's looking? Or do you want to rise above? If you want to rise above, then you need to start talking to God about your weakness. And as we communicate our weakness to God, his power comes into our life and something that was weak. Listen to me. Your weakness with the power of God is still better than any of your strengths. You're only so strong in yourself, but you put the power of God on one of your weaknesses, man, it's no longer a weakness. Now God can use you to help others. Somebody at work talking to you about how they're struggling with something, you can tell, man, I had that same thing. You know how I got past it? I communicated that weakness to God. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he slapped me upside my head with his grace. Woo! And it was sufficient for me. And that temptation, and listen to me now, it left me until the next opportunity. It's true. The Lord had me say this years ago. God will set you free, but you got to stay free. Amen. If he delivers you from alcohol, stop going to the bar. Amen. See, when I don't know why the church stopped talking about these things. We all have a humanity. We got to face these things. If you're used to looking stuff on the internet and then all of a sudden God delivers you, get rid of your computer. What's more important, your devotion to God or your computer? Come on now. Come on. I communicate my weaknesses to God. Listen to what he said in Matthew 11, 28. Then Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Wait, that temptation, I know it from experience. It's such a burden. It's such a weight. And the devil uses that because what does he want to do? He wants to test your devotion to God until it breaks. So we got to get the power of God on it. I don't want this test to break me. I want this test, hallelujah, to be broken by the power of God. So I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to get some word on it, and I'm going to talk to God. I hate, that's a strong word, but it's all right. I hate fake prayers. I just hate them. I hate it when we put on a face in our prayer time with God. Start coming to God in a state of vulnerability. Come to him like he's actually your heavenly Father, like he's God and he wants to help. And come to, listen, he knows what you're thinking anyways. You just as well communicate it. Amen. Trying to lie to God when he knows everything. You know, God, I'm not really struggling with this, but if you have time, if you get a moment, you know, no, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to say, okay, I'm really struggling with being a father right now. These kids, they driving me crazy. Just yesterday, we were at Walmart. Y'all listen to the sermons. You think I hate my kids. I really don't. They're beautiful, and I love them. Hallelujah. But just yesterday, Samuel got twisted up in the seatbelt trying to put it on. Sorry, son. I didn't mean to call you by name. One of my children. He's trying to put his seatbelt on, and you know how sometimes when you mess up the seatbelt and it starts clicking back in and you can't pull it out anymore until you get it all the way in and then it'll come back out? Well, he messed something up and it started clicking back in and it just kept getting tighter, and as the more he fidgeted, the tighter it got to where his knee was touching his forehead. You know, the seatbelt part was around, I'm serious, seatbelt part was around his leg and the strap's coming over his chest, and he's back there screaming and I'm getting ready to scream at him like, what are you doing? You know, I don't understand. And it got so bad that Rachel had to get some scissors out of the glove box. I had to cut my seatbelt. I was like an EMT in there cutting the seatbelt to rescue my child. We didn't even crash. Just sitting in the parking lot. But listen, we got to understand, in that moment was absolutely a moment of weakness for me. I wanted to scream at him. I just wanted to unload and just break him down and be, you know, what are you thinking? What is wrong with you? But in that moment, in my weakness, just like we did a few moments ago, I took a second and breathed. Okay, God, help me. And I looked at him and said, son, you got like 5 more seatbelts. Then you can't go anywhere because we ain't buying a new car, you know. And so it was a big to-do, but I just... help me in this weak moment, God. Help me not scream at. You're so patient with me. Help me be patient with him. Amen. Just think about Labrador retrievers and little puppies and kittens and rainbows and whatever I got to do. But communicate my weakness to God. Listen, we all have weaknesses. We're part of a fallen humanity. We need to begin to communicate those weaknesses to God so we can experience his strength. When you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like being a good husband. Communicate that weakness. When you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like being devoted to God. Come on now. I'll just use myself as an example because it's easy. You think I wake up every single morning, I'm just in love with Jesus? No, I got to work on that. So the days I don't feel like I'm in love with him, that's the days that I'm weak in my devotion to him, so I need to communicate that. If Father God, I'm really struggling with holiness right now. I'm really struggling and I'm weak in this moment and I need your grace. That's a prayer. That's where God can get all up in the middle of your vulnerability and make you strong. He can get all up in the middle of that prayer and help you.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.